بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another episode here in About Islam. We're going to give it a few seconds just to make sure that people log on, inshallah. And I get to also share some of this. So let's just give it a couple seconds, inshallah. And it also gives me an opportunity to share out, inshallah. So once again, we're here and another very important topic for our community, especially the new Muslims. So as I continue to share out, please also share out so others can benefit, bismillah. Very important topics for our new brothers and sisters who are entering the faith, and perhaps they need to hear this, what we're going to be talking about today. Again, I pray that everybody benefits on this, but the topic is geared for new converts, new Muslims, first generation Muslims, brothers and sisters who are currently are looking to enter the faith. So let's get started, inshallah. Let me just share this out to my page. Give me 1 second. Okay, so my apologies. All right, so today we're going to be talking about another very important topic that we often don't think about, specifically within our community, when our brothers and sisters are entering the faith. We are there to greet them and welcome them after they take their shahada. And while all of that is very important, it's very crucial to a new convert's, experience. Even more important is what comes after, right? And one of the reasons why we started Embrace, a nonprofit organization that takes care of converts, is because of this reason. We think that somebody takes shahada and they will be learning the faith on their own. Well, that's not necessarily true. It has happened in some cases because obviously they may be living in rural areas or perhaps don't have the resources to make this journey a bit easier. So today we're going to be talking on the importance of mentorship after embracing Islam and the role that we as a community play in a new shahada's life, right? So this is not a do-it-yourself kind of thing. We have to work in community. We have to make sure that we are taking care of each other. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when somebody used to enter the faith of Islam, there was always somebody assigned to this individual to make sure that they were taking care of them from their financial finances to, learning how to pray and learning about the deen. And so this is why it's so important for us to actually make sure that we grab each other by the hand in order to make this transition easy. Now, I've mentioned this in the past, but not every shahada story is the same. And so one of the things that I've noticed throughout the years is that we are put in a basket. And as soon as you hear the word revert or convert or new Muslim, you think that perhaps, they all come from the same walks of life, and that's not necessarily true. We have some converts, reverts that have full support from their families, right? That they are okay with their new decision, new way of life. But then we have individuals who actually have it really hard. And I can sit here hours and share some of those stories with you. And I might share a couple just to see the difference between, somebody being welcome not only in the community, but in their homes, and somebody that is not a welcome at all whatsoever. And so what does that look like? And how can we help as a community? Where do we even start, right? So that's the most important thing. And I'm talking now to the convert, right? To the revert, to the Shahada first and foremost. So where do you start? You take your Shahada. Nowadays, we live in the era of internet. I've heard individuals taking their Shahada over the internet, on the phone. I myself gave a sister in Mexico City her Shahada over WhatsApp, right? Over a phone conversation. So there's many, many ways of entering the faith nowadays with technology, alhamdulillah. But what happens after that? What happens when the shahada, the emotions, everything is has simmered down? So one of the first things that I want to personally mention today is, where do we start? The first thing we need to initiate is, or look for, is an Islamic center or a mosque. If you did not convert there, if you converted, you know, through the internet or on a phone call, or perhaps you were at a dawah table or an event or with a friend or at the university, so many different places, right, where this can take place. So I would definitely say to start by looking for resources. And one of the most important places to look for is for an Islamic center and a mosque. You know, alhamdulillah, we are definitely trying to have classes within and workshops. And it is our responsibility as Muslims to go out and seek knowledge. And so that is prescribed on each and every one of us, whether we are a convert or we are born into this faith. So it is important for us to make sure that we are connected to a place. I normally call the masjid that I'm affiliated with my second home. Why is that? Well, not only do I go there and pray, you know, for Jummah and perhaps other Salat, you know, I normally enjoy praying Fajr at the mosque, and I try not to miss Jummah, but also to connect with other individuals that perhaps are going through similar situations as you, or to be connected with other families. If you have children, there's normally activities at the mosque that will help you throughout your journey, right? So you're not doing this alone. And this is the title of it, right? That this is not a do-it-yourself, it's not practical. It can get very, very lonely. And so it's important to establish that connection and that foundation early on. So if you don't have a center, right, if you live, which I know there's situations such as that. When I went to Bogota, Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, I met one of the scholars who basically said that one of the members would travel a total of 5 hours to get to the masjid for Jummah. And so that's, I don't know how many of us would travel that far, but obviously when you come into the faith and you want to connect somehow, some way, you, where there's a will, there's a way. And so you make it happen. So there are individuals that will go out of their way to make sure that they make that connection. And well, now, like I mentioned early, now we have, you know, this, the internet, alhamdulillah. And so there can be a community that you can find virtually. I know at Embrace, we have a lot of live classes, workshops, halakas, discussions. So there are different avenues. If you don't have a center, you can still build on a virtual community per se. Now, when we're looking for a mentor, it's important for us to, inshallah, make sure that we look for someone of our same gender, right? So it's important for us to, if you're a sister, that you look for a sister, you know, that you are compatible with. And so that's very important for us to understand early on. And while we have, I have heard, and also when I came into Islam, there was a brother who sent me books. And even though he was, you know, a male, he did send me the books and then referred me to a sister to teach me. So that can also happen, right? So just make sure that these boundaries are not crossed and that we understand what has been prescribed for us is from our Creator. And so we have to make sure that we respect those boundaries. And so it's important for us to find someone of the same gender, right? So if, let's say I meet a brother and, you know, we initiate conversation, I am not going to mentor him, but I am going to look for someone to mentor him. Likewise for a sister, if, you know, a brother gives you a Quran, hopefully, if he's married, his wife can possibly mentor you or what have you. So it's important. This is a very important piece to start with, right? And while we will have certain interactions with the opposite gender, again, we have to make sure that we don't cross any boundaries and that we are very respectful towards one another as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it, right? As you're looking for a mentor, obviously, or you are assigned a mentor, you want to make sure that there is some type of compatibility, right? So now I'm talking to the mentor. We have to make sure that on both sides, but the mentor has to be obviously patient. And we are all eager to help and eager to learn. So on both sides equally, we need to be patient with each other and make sure that as we are teaching and learning, that if questions come up, that we make sure we ask them, right? So one of the things that personally I loved about Islam was that the fact that I was able to ask anything and everything I wanted. And I remember growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, when I had questions, I was oftentimes quiet. And I was told that I just had to believe. And so that is not the case in Islam. We have every right to ask any question. No question is dumb. And if you have a question, I'm sure there is an answer for everything. So we just have to make sure that if that individual that is mentoring you doesn't have the answer, that they're able to say, I don't know that answer to that question, but I'll get back to you. And so as a mentor, you have to be very mindful of that. And for the convert, also be very patient if we don't have all the answers when we're mentoring, right? One of the important factors of this whole mentorship is obviously to establish that brotherhood, sisterhood bond, right? There's a lot of benefit in it as you are growing into your new, you know, role and way of life. You are obviously building on this family as the ummah, as one nation. We are called brothers and sisters for a reason, right? And we do become, gravitate to those habits of our brothers and sisters. So we do have to be very cautious as well, not only when you are mentoring, but when you are being mentor. If there are things that you don't like, you need to speak up and say, you know what, I did not appreciate the way you spoke to me. A lot of times, so one thing that I did see early on when I was assigned a mentor, was that obviously, we come from different sides of the world, and so sometimes culture plays a big role. And so we have to be able to differentiate between Islam and culture. And if something doesn't seem right or sound right, then question it. It's okay to ask your mentor. There's absolutely no bad reason why you shouldn't. You should ask. The other thing, you know, when we are looking for this mentor, we are looking for someone that understands us and is able to bring resources. And what I mean by that is, obviously, if I don't have a Quran, I don't know where to look for a Quran, my mentor, inshallah, will be able to facilitate this reading material for me. And as we are looking for this mentor, or we are mentoring as well, we have to remember to be aware of the different organizations out there that provide resources. And so when you are mentoring someone, make sure that you are bringing, you know, easy to read material. I remember one of the most important things that I always brought on, and this is a small booklet. It's a very small booklet, but it's very easy to comprehend. It's what is Islam and who are Muslims, right? So it's very, very thin, but there's a lot of good information here, anywhere from who is Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, and the Quran and what have you. So easy material, inshallah, to make sure that the person that you are mentoring does not get overwhelmed. I remember when I came into the faith, I received a huge box of books and it was very overwhelming. So just make sure to take it little by little, inshallah, when you are providing these resources. The other thing that, you know, as we're looking, what should you look for in a mentor? Somebody that's compatible, somebody with excellent character is important to also look in a mentor, right? So obviously we have to make sure that we are listening to this mentor, but the mentor also knowing that whatever you are teaching this new convert, these are habits that perhaps they're going to carry on, right? And I'll give you one example. So my mentor, when I came into the faith, told me, no matter what, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going in your life, don't you ever, ever, ever miss salat, prayer. So when a mentor tells you this early on and explains to you why, right? And I remember she said, because this is the very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you about on the day of judgment. And it's so important to maintain that connection. So don't ever miss your salat. To this day, we're talking about over 15 years later, this has stuck in my brain, right? How important salat is. And no matter where I am, what I'm doing, I have to pause. And this is my time for my creator and I, for me to let go of all the worldly, any anxiety, any worries I may have, I take it all to the rug. So that's why it's so important when we are mentoring or we're looking for a mentor, that we are looking for characteristics, good characteristics that will carry us on and will help us throughout this journey. So the other thing that it's important for us to remember is, so number one, I said, is connect ourselves to a masjid or Islamic center. Make sure that once you're there, you take full advantage of, you know, the different resources that are happening, whether it's workshops, whether it's Islam 101. You know, it really is our responsibility to learn. And, you know, at this given time, shaitan will come at us and we'll have zillion of excuses why we can't attend and what have you. And then we fall short and then we just kind of get lazy. And that's one of the attributes of shaitan, being lazy. So we have to be careful and make sure that we are obviously utilizing our time correctly, that we are seeking out for that connection, that sisterly, you know, sisterhood and brotherhood connection. And so why can't you do, you know, why can't you go on this journey by yourself? Because we are creatures that love human interaction, right? And so it's important for us to align those individuals that will take us to the next level. And that's why finding a mentor that will help us get there is so important and imperative. And so the other thing is that understand that not everybody will connect immediately, per se. Like, for example, if the first mentor that you're assigned, there's not a lot of compatibility, or simply you just don't click, you can ask for someone else. It's important for you to voice voice that out to whether it's the Islamic Central or the masjid, for you to say, you know what, this is not working out. Can I be assigned to someone else? And it's okay to, you know, choose a different mentor, inshallah. And why is that? Well, simply because you want to make sure that you make that connection, not only physical, but physical connection, but also spiritual connection, that, you know, that person draws you closer to Allah. And so that's why it's so important to look for that person that will make an impact in your life with those reminders, with that invitation to come to dinner, to make sure that makes you feel at home, right? So we can do it alone. And that's essentially what I'm here to tell you today, that we definitely cannot, we cannot do this alone. We need mentors as new Muslims, right? And so as community, we need to make sure that we're also taking care of this important portion within our communities, because new Muslims need trained mentors. So one of a design program that we have at Embrace, it's called Convert Sensitivity Training. And it's basically to train anyone that's going to be dealing with reverts and converts. It's so important because, as I initially started saying, we don't all come from the same walks of life or the same background. We don't all have the same education, you know, level or what have you. And so this is why it's important for us to get trained, inshallah. And so in this training, we go on a journey. We go on a journey from the day the individual takes shahada, you know, how to welcome them without overwhelming them, right? So as mentors, we can't expect someone to learn from A to Z in X amount of time, because again, sometimes the individual may have learning problems or what have you, or learns at a different pace than you, and that's okay. The most important thing I would say, if you take anything, is to be consistent, right? If you plan to be a mentor, it's important to be consistent. Consistent means that if you have planned to meet once a week, not to cancel on this new Muslim, right? It's important to make sure that you are consistent, that if you say Friday afternoon, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock, that you save that time, you cross off that time specifically for this, because again, it's an amana, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these opportunity, but also can remove us from these opportunity. And so one of the most beautiful hadiths that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but one of the most beautiful hadiths that come to mind is that anything good that you teach this individual, you will get a portion, right? Excuse me. So imagine you teach your shahada, this new Muslim, al-Fatiha, and for the rest of their lives, they will be praying and they will be reciting al-Fatiha, and you will be getting a portion of that because you took the time and you invested in this new shahada and taught that al-Fatiha, right? So it's a win-win situation on both ends. And obviously, it's to cultivate that sense of community. It's to cultivate that sisterhood and brotherhood. And so it's so important. And in this convert sensitivity training, we talk about, obviously, the home. We talk about, you know, work. What does that look like for the new shahada? And then finally, the communal aspect of it, right? What to expect and what not to expect for both of the mentor and the shahada. And so I would highly encourage everyone to learn a little bit more, but also to reach out, right? And be consistent when you are reaching out. Don't wait only for Eid or don't wait only for Ramadan. You know, open the doors to your home, but more importantly, open the doors to your heart, right? We are all brothers and sisters in the faith. And obviously, we all want good for one another. And so one of the most important things is for us to make sure that we get involved when it comes to convert care to new Muslims who are in need of these mentors. And last but not least, I would say, you know, don't see it as a burden if you are entering the mentor, being a mentor, right? Don't say, oh, well, I'm just going to do it, but then become overwhelmed. If your time has come, like where you give yourself, oh, I'm going to mentor someone 6 months, then make sure that you save that up front, you know, for the next 6 months. And then we will revisit and see where you're at and how much you have learned. That way you don't leave someone cold turkey, because it's very detrimental for a new Muslim to be so excited that they're building this relationship and all of a sudden this mentor disappears one day. So make sure to go in with the best intention to help these new Muslims, you know, set up a time frame. If you are short on time, be very consistent, have the correct resources. You need to educate yourself as a mentor to know, you know, where you can get Qurans or where your new Shahada can go for new classes, what websites are there available. One of the best resources, and I tell you this with all due honesty, is here about Islam. If you go to the website and you type in any topic, there will be an article on it. And so educate yourself as much as you can. Don't treat everyone, you know, one size fits all. No, we all come from different walks of life. We are all different. We are looking for, you know, to be respected, and we want to be integrated into the community. So for both, you know, the mentor and the new Muslim, you know, be patient with one another. It's very important to exercise patience. One is possibly learning how to be a mentor or trying their best or coming with the best intention. So remember that, you know, when we do volunteer or are giving our time for the sake of Allah is something that we need to be very mindful of as well. And so I really hope that helped for both, for new Muslims and also for mentors. There's so much more that I could say on this, and perhaps one day I'll do the sensitivity training by parts. I can do one part, two part, and then three part, because I think that's also very important, inshallah. But for now, I just want to thank everyone out there who is doing mentoring with new Muslims, who do go out of their ways to give salams to the new convert. Just this past Juma, this Friday, I arrived to the masjid, and the sister to my right had a little book. So I realized she was a convert. And I made sure that I greeted her. I gave her my card. I gave her a pamphlet. I said, you know, I'm here for you, and obviously greeted her with a smile, gave her salams, gave her her right. And so these are minute things that we don't think about, but that go a long way. And so she said, oh, you're the only one that has greeted me. And so while that is very painful, because as Muslims to one another, we should be very kind, very generous. And so our smile is sadaqah. So we should be smiling at the masjid and greeting each other and being kind to each other and looking at our surroundings. Who is at the masjid? Who is not? I remember when I just moved here to Dallas, Texas, there was one sister that, subhanAllah, I will never forget, that called me the first Friday that I didn't show up, and I happened to be very sick that Friday. And she texted me, and then she called me and she said, are you okay? I noticed that you didn't come to Juma. I always tell this story because that story impacted me. Even though I've been Muslim for a long time, it's individuals like that that bring us hope and revive, you know, this brotherhood and sisterhood and love that we should have for one another. So as mentors, please be kind to and patient. And as new Muslims, also be patient with yourselves. Be very consistent. Don't get frustrated. It's a journey. It's a lifetime journey. So I pray that that this is of benefit to you all, and we shall see you at the next session. You all have a wonderful week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.